You've probably heard this story before, or a version of it, but I think it is a helpful reminder of what God has commissioned us to do as society changes. There was once an old man who had a habit of walking on the beach every morning before he began his work. Early one morning, he was walking along the shore after a big storm had passed and found the beach littered with starfish as far as the eye could see, stretching in both directions. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy walking towards him. And as the boy walked, he paused every so often. And as he grew closer, the man could see that the boy was occasionally bending down to pick up an object and throw it into the sea. As the boy came closer, the man called out, "Good morning, can I ask what it is that you're doing?" The young boy paused, looked up and replied, "I'm throwing starfish back into the sea. The tide has washed them onto the beach and they can't return to the sea by themselves. When the sun gets high, they will die unless I throw them back into the water." The old man replied, "But there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. You're not really going to be able to make much of a difference." The boy bent down, picked up another starfish, threw it as far as he could into the ocean. He turned, smiled and said, "It made a difference to that one." Seeing the video about some of the people who have been helped by CAP, we can see the difference it has made to their individual lives. Being commissioned to change society sounds like a very big ask, but if we see it as each of us playing our part to make a difference in the lives of individuals, I think it becomes a little less daunting. We began the service by reading about the time when Jesus used a passage from Isaiah to define his manifesto. He had come to change society, to work to bring in God's kingdom, and that passage summed up what it would mean for individuals. The poor would hear good news. Prisoners and those who were oppressed would be set free. Those who were blind would be able to see. And that's what Jesus wants us to do too. "As the Father sent me, so I send you," said Jesus after his resurrection. In a parable that he told towards the end of his ministry, Jesus said that his true followers were those who fed the hungry, gave a drink to the thirsty, provided hospitality to strangers, clothed the naked, cared for those who were ill, and visited those in prison. All ways in which we can help, give help to individuals, often in very small ways, but actions that make a huge difference to those individuals. There are a number of places in the Old Testament where God directly addresses those people whose lives didn't live up to their worship. People who were very religious about prayer and worship and offering sacrifices and fasting, but actually did nothing about the needs around them. This is one of those passages from Isaiah 58, and I'm doing it from the Message version. God speaking to his people. "This is the kind of fast day I'm after, to break the chains of injustice. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. When you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, 'Here I am.' If you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew. Rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. When I was reading that, I was sort of thinking about this morning, I thought that you could interpret that passage as God saying, in order for things to go well with you, this is what you need to do. A bit like a bribe or a reward for good behavior. But I think what he's actually saying is that a better way of life for all is a consequence of doing away with injustice and oppression. As the lives of individuals are changed for the better, society as a whole will be changed. If all of us lived out those words, put them into practice, society as a whole would be changed. That's true that there are some people called to do things which lead to whole-scale changes in society, people whose lives had a greater impact on social reform than most of us. Some pictures coming up on the screen of some of them. You may work out who they are, but we've got in the middle there William Wilberforce, who along with others did much to lead to the abolition of the slave trade. Elizabeth Fry, one of a number of prison reformers. I think it's probably the only woman prison reformer. William and Catherine Booth, who started the Salvation Army and all the work that they do, particularly with the homeless. Martin Luther King, with the work that he did against apartheid. And all of these people did what they did because their faith in God and a desire to see his kingdom come resulted in action. And John Kirkby, who's the founder of CAP, we saw earlier on the screen, is another such person. From small beginnings, but plenty of faith, John put his faith into action using the gifts and skills that God had given him to change people's lives. And working in partnership with local churches such as ours, CAP has seen thousands of lives changed over the last 20 years. And we heard earlier from Sue about something that's happening locally, but now she's just going to share a bit more about the wider work of CAP.
Thanks, Rachel. I'll try and be a bit more concise this time. I was just going to share the core values of CAP, because I think this kind of explains quite clearly. So it's kind of four really short statements. Serve the poor, save the lost, with the church, across the nation. So John's vision really is that the church across the UK would rise up and tackle poverty, even though it's often veiled in our neighbourhoods. And so he started that, as Rachel said, from very small beginnings, with the debt centres locally and now nationally, 290 centres across the country. But out of that has grown a much greater awareness of some of the issues that cause people to get into debt and live in poverty. And so there's much more of a drive now also to tackle some of those issues too. And interestingly, they see themselves, actually would say that they're an Isaiah 58 ministry, very much based on what comes out of Isaiah 58. And they do that through the provision of different services through through local churches. And also now, because of the reputation that they've built of doing those things really, really well, they're now in relationship with almost all of the providers in the credit industry. And so they have a voice. People will come to them and ask for advice around certain things as they're changing policies and stuff. And also a voice into government and speaking to challenge policy and to shape policy. So in terms of biblical principles, I think they would say they're fighting for justice for the poor, speaking up for those who have no voice, and doing away with oppression. So offering practical solutions for the local church to address the causes of poverty. So some of the other things that they do other than debt centres is they offer courses that churches can run, release groups, which are supporting people who are recognising that they are suffering from addiction and wanting to change. and there are courses that churches can run to help people to release them from addiction. Job clubs supporting people with practical skills to find work, and they have a really high success rate actually in getting people back into work, such that the Department of Work and Pensions actually recommends that local job centres link up with job clubs where they're run by the local churches. So that's really positive. The money management courses that we know about, because they've just started to be run locally, which Tricia and Tim are involved in leading. By the way, there's another one starting in July on Saturday mornings that you may be interested in getting involved with yourself, or maybe just letting folk around know. I like to make the most of these opportunities. Life skills groups as well, which is something that is growing out of the work that CAP have been doing with people who are more disadvantaged, are recognising that there are a large number of people in society who find it very difficult just to make life work. And so teaching even things, budgeting is a part of that, but also cooking, looking after yourself, those sorts of things that are basic life skills. So that's a new thing that's just been introduced, but seems to be going very well so far. Because of the way that CAP works, they've been able to get alongside people, particularly who have mental health difficulties, and support them out of debt in a way that many other debt support agencies can't do. And as such, they've become recognised really as a sector leader around that. They've won awards throughout the sector. And that is enabling them to speak into the development of policy and things in that area. And particularly, just now, I don't know how many people are aware of Martin Lewis, who is the money-saving expert. He's a really, really big fan of CAP's work, and you may hear him speaking on TV and radio quite frequently and referring to CAP. He's setting up an institute now looking at mental health and debt and poverty, because of the links that are becoming evident between those two things. He calls them the marriage made in hell. And the whole question of how debt and poverty affect mental health and how mental health issues affect your ability to deal with money. And CAP will be very involved in the research and development, policy development, things that come out of that institute. CAP are represented on the all-party parliamentary group on debt and personal income. So that means that they have a voice direct into speaking to MPs, speaking into Parliament about the sorts of things that, policies and things that are being developed. So one example of recent work, CAP started off I don't know the proper term, but a thing called the Poor Pay More. So people who are on prepayment meters, so particularly people who have trouble paying for their bills, for their utilities, will be put on prepayment meters. They're immediately put onto higher rate of paying than those who pay by direct debit. So although they're put into that position because they're already poor, they then pay for that by being put onto a different rate. So we've raised this, and we've been able to raise this in Parliament, and one of the MPs is now tabling an early day motion to suggest that there should be fair rates for those who are on prepayment meters. So it's just one of the ways that CAP's being able, through the ways that they're involved, to shape policy and to really change things in our nation. There are many examples I could give you. The other one that's very exciting for me is one of the really scary things for people who are in debt is when the bailiffs come, and they come to claim debts that people owe, and they knock on the door, and the threat of somebody coming into your house and taking your things is terrifying for people, and the anxiety that comes from that is enormous. And one of the things that, through working with enforcement agency, that's the official term for bailiffs, the enforcement agency companies, they've managed, certainly a group of six big enforcement agencies in the north have agreed that any clients that they see who are vulnerable, they'll immediately refer to CAP before instigating enforcement agency fees action, which is just amazing. It's such an amazing change for those people. Unfortunately, in Oxfordshire, we haven't yet seen those sorts of changes with our enforcement agents, so that's something you can pray for. Because of the work that they've done and the way that, through their work with debt, credit companies can see that they end up actually getting more of their money back over the long term than they would with people who don't work with organisations like this. They therefore are now starting to seek CAP's advice when they're putting policies in place to make sure that they are going to work for the benefit of clients as well as for themselves. So there's change coming all the way through. And CAP are in a position now to really be able to campaign strongly for the poor and the vulnerable in these places, which is really exciting. As Rachel said, CAP, John started CAP from small beginnings. Just a donation of £10 was where he started from in his bedroom in Bradford. And God has grown CAP to be an international industry ministry now, helping thousands of people each year. Not wanting to compromise his desire, our desire, to share the love of Jesus as well, and recognizing that God's love and the transformation that he can bring is equally as important in really freeing people. CAP isn't funded by government at all, so that we can speak as we want to. And last year, over 800 people became Christians through the work of CAP. This year, we have a target of over 1,000 people to find Jesus. And I know they do keep records of these things so far. Apparently, we'll be over and above our target for this year. So praise God and pray for more than 1,000 people to come and know him through the work of CAP. So he's a really, he is an inspiring person. It's an inspiring organization. And a great example of how things can really be changed through standing on our faith and speaking up for justice and truth. But we're not all John Kirkbys. And it can leave us feeling a little bit overawed, I think, sometimes when you see the amazing things that some people achieve. But just the reminder that he didn't see that all at the outset. He just saw he'd got £10, and he knew that because he'd managed to do something and get himself out of debt, he could help other people to do that. And as God prompted him, he just did what he was told to do. He was just obedient to God's call for the next moment. So whilst we stand back in awe and amazement and give him credit for what he's done, it's important for us, really, that we recognise that he's just being obedient to what God's called him to do, and that's our role too, just to be obedient to what God calls us to do right now, and God will do what he plans to do. Thank you.
Yeah. We were going to sing another song at this point, but I think we'll actually just... carry on. Yes, we're all commissioned to be society changers, but as Sue said, we're not all called to be John Kirkbys and set up life-changing movements or great reformers like William Wilberforce. But I do believe that all of us, in our own way, are called to help build God's kingdom, to play our part in extending God's rule on earth. And yes, it is God's kingdom, and it is true that he does the building. But God has so ordered this world that he created that his work in this world is done through the people he created, those who were made in his image. I don't need that one just yet. He wants us to play our part in reflecting his creative, loving presence in all the dark and hidden places, to work with him, to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And it's true that God's kingdom will only be fully revealed at the end of time when he creates those new heavens and the new earth. And only he is going to be able to do that. But in the meantime, what we can do, what we must do if we want to be obedient to what he calls us to do, is to build for the kingdom. 3 years ago, I was asked to preach at the Thanksgiving service for a dear friend of ours who had died from a brain tumour just before his 55th birthday. And this picture's coming up now. And one of the really important things in Brian's life for around 10 years had been his voluntary work with CAP. And one of their regional managers had this to say about Brian. Brian was such a godly, inspirational and wonderful man. Whenever anyone mentioned his name here at CAP, there would always be such an incredible warm response of enthusiasm and love from someone in the room. What a legend. That doesn't happen very often. Everyone who ever came into contact with him at CAP just loved him and everything he did to support and love our clients. And it was probably partly in memory of Brian that I was keen to use my gifts to support CAP's work by being a trustee of the debt centre here. And at Brian's funeral, I spoke about faith, hope, and love.
and talked about the hope that we all have for the future. And I included some words from Tom Wright's book, Surprised by Hope, which I think are also relevant to us as we think about our calling to be society changers. At the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote these words, "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." And reflecting on that passage in his book, Tom Wright wrote this, "Every act of love, gratitude and kindness, every work of art or music inspired by the love of God and delight in the beauty of his creation, every minute spent teaching a severely disabled child to read or walk, every act of care and nurture, of comfort and support for one's fellow human beings, and for that matter, one's fellow non-human creatures, and of course, every prayer, all spirit-led teaching, every deed which spreads the gospel, builds up the church, embraces and embodies holiness rather than corruption, and makes the name of Jesus honored in the world, all of this will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation which God will one day make. That is the logic of the mission of God, God's recreation of his wonderful world, which has begun with the resurrection of Jesus and continues mysteriously as God's people live in the risen Christ and in the power of his Spirit, means that what we do in Christ and by the Spirit in the present is not wasted. It will last all the way into God's new world. In fact, it will be enhanced there." Then goes on to say he doesn't know precisely what that means in practice, but what he does know is this, that God's new world of justice and joy, of hope for the whole earth, was launched when Jesus came out of the tomb on Easter morning. And I know that he calls his followers to live in him and by the power of his Spirit, and so to be new creation people here and now, bringing signs and symbols of the kingdom to birth on earth as in heaven. And that's what I think it means to be society changers, to be people who, inspired by the Spirit, demonstrate the signs and symbols of God's kingdom to those around us. Sometimes this will be quietly, in the way that a little bit of yeast works its way through the dough to bring about some change. You might even have some picture of some dough, possibly. Sometimes this will have a more obvious impact, in the way that a mustard seed grows into a huge tree. Sometimes this will be the way in which we take God's light into dark places or into the dark corners of people's lives. Sometimes this will be as we sow the seeds of God's love wherever we go. We can do this in our church work, helping at toddlers, giving lifts to Oasis, making donations to the food bank, or much more. But we should also be doing this in our homes, in our workplaces, with our friends, helping to build God's kingdom through our everyday actions, in our everyday places. All of us, wherever we are, can be helping to change the world we live in, can be helping to build God's kingdom, living out the hope that we have for the future in our present lives. But are we listening to God's voice? Are we hearing God's call to action? And if we are listening and hearing, are we responding to that call? Let us pray. Loving God, you've called us to go out into the world in your service, to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples, to share your love, to help build your kingdom. Lord God, you are calling us now. May we be able to respond by saying, "Here I am, send me." Loving God, forgive us that we have so often failed in that calling. Heard your voice, but not responded. Happy to come to Christ, but unwilling to go out in his name. Forgive us that we are so often eager to receive, but reluctant to give. All too easily turning faith into something for ourselves and not for others. Lord God, you are calling us now. Help us to be able to respond, "Here I am, send me." Loving God, fill us now with new courage, zeal and purpose, new vision and resolve, that we will hear your voice calling us, showing us what you want us to do, guiding us, helping us to see how we can build your kingdom, how we can, in your name, change the world around us. Lord God, you are calling us now. May we be able to say, "Here I am, send me." In Christ's name, amen.